right. How are you guys doing today? Good? Are you guys surviving the heat? I'm not. I am literally sweating right now. I can feel it running down my back. So, oh, well, that's the way it is. Hey, you guys have any idea what we're talking about today? Hey. Good. I'm getting it in there. I told the guys to actually title the sermon today, I'm Mad. And by the end of this message, you can decide which mad that is. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer and we'll dig in. Father God, we just come before you right now. Lord, you are an awesome, mighty God. You deserve all praise, all worship, all admiration. You've stepped into creation and redeemed us through your Son. You have not left us as orphans. You have given us the Holy Spirit. Father, you guide and lead. You sanctify. You justify. You're constantly at work, even within us. And so, Lord, we just ask that as we dig into your word, that you would lead and guide, that you would speak, that you would help us to discover and to walk in your ways. So we give it to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Here we are, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and we are beyond verse 4, but we're going to start on verse 4 anyways. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others, and it is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered, and it keeps no record of wrong. It's not easily angered. Notice it doesn't say it does not get angry. It says it's not easily angered. Matter of fact, there would be a good argument for the fact that sometimes anger is an expression of love. When a child gets abused, you ought to be angry because you love the child. You see, anger comes from a place of a sense of injustice. You think about whenever you've been angry and mad, it is because something has been wronged. A lot of times it's something that we have been wronged by, and so we get mad or we feel like we've been mistreated or we've been disrespected, and so our anger steps in. Sometimes it's you hear other things. You hear politically, you think about our nation last, I don't know, almost a decade now, where our whole state across, not Montana, but the state of mankind, so to speak, across the U.S., continues to get more and more angry politically because there's this perspective of things being done wrong or injustice that is happening, and the media feeds that on both sides, and it just stirs up our anger. So we have this emotion that happens to us. And it's not necessarily wrong and it's not necessarily right. But it definitely, handled in the wrong way, can destroy our lives. It definitely is one of those things that is really difficult as believers to even know how to kind of navigate. I have become convinced. I used to think maybe this is a possibility. And the more and more I look at it, the more and more I dig into it, I have come to a place where I am absolutely convinced that the reason that most older believers become melancholy, no longer full of zeal, and you think about it, man, when you first accept the Lord, you're excited, you're pumped, you're ready to go conquer the world. You don't understand why people aren't grasping this thing. This is a cool, when you're young, it's like, let's go change the world for the Lord. We've got to step into this. We got a calling. Let's go do it. When you get old, you're like, well, hopefully I can make it to church on Sunday. And the older you get in your walk in Christianity, it seems like the more the zeal goes, the more it just becomes kind of almost melancholy. The more you see people not on fire for the Lord. And I am convinced that has to do with our feelings. Absolutely convinced it has to do with our feelings. See, we live in a culture that we don't know what to do with our emotions. And because we don't know what to do with our emotions, what happens is we respond and we do things that we shouldn't be doing as believers, and we don't know why we got there. We just, for some reason, can't seem to be able to handle certain areas of our life, and we get frustrated and we give into familiar sins. And so the older you get, you begin to lose this zeal for the Lord, because all of a sudden you get to this place where it's like, I'm not feeling the victory anymore. And it's not fresh. And man, I love the power. And you guys have been there when you first accept the Lord. It's like, I love the power of the Holy Spirit that steps into your life and cleans you up and fills you with excitement. Like, let's go conquer the world. And then as time goes by, you begin to feel like, man, I can't even conquer myself. And you talk to the older believers, and like I say, that zeal, that passion seems to begin to fade away. There's always this trust in the Lord. There's always this faith and belief. No, this is a good thing. But their life is not filled with the desire to do anything anymore. It doesn't have that drive. And it often have to, I really, really believe it, often has to do with the fact that somewhere along the lines, they didn't know how to deal with their emotions. You see, we base a lot of our life off of our feelings and our emotions. And I think feelings and emotions, if you will, are, I'm going to kind of separate them if I can. Because a lot of times, and you'll hear this, a lot of people base their feelings, what they're feeling at the moment, off of whether they're having a spiritual encounter. You ever been part of, you know, something that's happened, a prayer meeting, a worship thing that's going on, a speaker, and all of a sudden you get the goosebumps? It's like, man, God is here. You know what I'm talking about? Don't leave me hanging. You know what I'm talking about? Okay. You ever been one of those ones where it's like, man, I'm not feeling it? Is that scriptural? Where two or more are gathered, you will feel me? It's not. See, what happens is we have these feelings, we have these things that happen to us that somehow our body responds to, and even chemically, where we have, it changes our, you know, all the stuff that's going on inside of us, so that you would even have goosebumps and these emotions that are going on. Your feelings that happen in a moment, it's a fascinating thing, but they're also really tricky. And see, I've heard a lot of believers talk about going into a place, and it's like, now there's discernment, and I agree. There's where you can go into a place and go, whoa, I don't know if Jesus is here, and I get that. I believe that there is discernment, but I also think it's really dangerous when you sit there and say, well, I'm not feeling it. It often happens with worship. Have you guys ever watched a scary movie without the volume? You turn off the volume where there's no music, and you go, why was I so scared? This is dumb. It is amazing. Most people don't realize it, but it is amazing. When you kill the volume on something, how much it impacts the way that you perceive what you're watching. Music has this tendency to evoke emotion, feeling. And so sometimes we can come into a situation where something is like, man, this is happening, this is awesome, the crowd is pumped, and there's a lot of feeling going on here, this sense of purpose and drive that's going on, and it's like, man, this is like being in the throne room of God. This is just awesome. And the reality is the pastor is not walking with Christ. Worship team is messing around, and things are in shambles. And people flock to that because we all want the feeling. You see how dangerous that is? And to be honest, there's a place where I want that. I want to be pumped. I want to be excited. Give me the rally. You know, let's go do it. But I want it to be solid. I don't want it to be changing. I don't want it to be one of those things where I come into a church or to a gathering or a Bible study or whatever it is, and it's like, man, this is just awesome. And then I go and I get in my car, and it's like something happens, and all of a sudden that emotion, that feeling is gone, and all of a sudden I'm back to a negative space in my life. That's not solid. That's just emotion. See, when you deal with our feelings and emotions, we get really, it's a really struggle, because when you grow up with that idea that you can feel this or that and then it changes so suddenly, then you kind of wonder, why am I doing that? Like it's my issue. And then as you go along, you begin to realize, man, I was a part of that group, or I was part of this thing, and it was just happening, and God was moving, and people, you know, because every time you went, it was exciting. And then it finds out that the pastor is a total yahoo. And it shakes you to the core. And so then you go, well, I guess I can't trust my feelings. Because I thought it was this. Matter of fact, I knew it was this. But it wasn't. So I can't trust myself. So then we get to a place where it's like, well, I can't trust my feelings. So as you grow older, I think that's often what happens, is you have folks that begin not to trust their feelings, or they don't know how to express their emotion, how to properly express their emotion. And yet, God has given us emotion. God has emotion. God gets angry. God rejoices over us. See, there's emotion expressed from God, and God gives us emotion, and yet we attract emotion and feeling, and we put them together, and we don't know how to separate them, and I'm trying to, but I don't know if I can for you, because the reality is the feelings are, to me, is like this thing that comes and goes at a moment, but there's an emotion that underlines it all. And the emotion is where we got to get to the root of it. Because when we can begin to understand what our emotion is, what's really happening inside of us, those things that God has given us, this emotion that I'm going through, if I can figure out what it is that I'm dealing with and put it into its proper place, then I actually know how to respond. If you guys go through the discipleship program, part of our discipleship program is I have you read a book called The Voice of the Heart. And the reason why I read The Voice of the Heart is not because it's the scripture, it's not, but because it is a Christian man who sat down and said, listen, this is biblical, and not only biblical that we have emotions, but I believe that there's basically these eight essential emotions that everything else kind of feeds off of. And so he gives us a baseline of being able to look at ourselves and go, what am I dealing with? And being able to understand what's proper and what's not proper. If I deal with this, what should happen? If I don't deal with this, what's going to happen? And it's key, because what I believe has happened to a lot of the older generation as believers that have been believers for a long time that lose their zeal is what happens is they don't know how to deal with that emotion. And so then they give into something because they're trying to deal with the emotion without knowing the proper way to deal with emotion. I'm lonely. And I don't know what to do with the loneliness. So I come to a crowd and I sit and I look around. And it's like, I just don't belong here. I'm rejected. You're not rejected. You're lonely. The proper way to deal with loneliness is actually to engage. The wrong way to deal with loneliness is like, oh, I just don't fit. So I'll withdraw. Yeah, like that's going to help anything. I'm sad. You get sad. We get sad because we've lost something of value. That's really where sadness comes from. I've lost a good friendship. I've lost a job. I'm sad. And as Christians, we go, oh, we shouldn't be sad. We should be joyful. We should be excited. We should be happy. And so, oh, I feel bad. And so, I'm sad. And I'm not doing this right. And so I'll medicate. I'll step into something that relieves that pain so I'm not thinking about it. I'll step into some kind of addiction, whether it's playing games, whether it's watching videos, whether it's alcohol, whether it's whatever. So I'm not feeling sad. Instead of being able to go, I'm sad because I lost something of value. And it's okay for me to grieve. It's okay for me to mourn. Because the reality is when I mourn, I give value to that thing, and I give value to life. So we have this struggle that we don't think we should be able to mourn. We need to mourn. We as Americans don't mourn enough. You want to experience the high of joy? You have to somewhere mourn, or you'll never get there. I feel shame. In my shame, I look at it, it's like, ooh. Shame is because I know I've done something wrong. And so when I feel shame, I don't want other people to know about it because I've done something wrong, so I'll hide it. I won't speak about it. I'll put it off in the corner. And all that does is push you away from people and relationships. And it puts you into a place where it's like, there's something wrong with me because I do things that aren't right. Instead of being able to look at that and say, I feel shame, because I've done something wrong. It's not pleasing to God. It's not pleasing to me. It's not what I want in my life. And so stepping out and letting others who care about you know, I messed up. This isn't good. I need your prayers and I need your love. To find healing and realize that's not you, that you are okay and accepted. And God loves you totally and completely, and that He wants to restore you, and you're only going to find that by being able to be restored to relationships. See, we have these feelings, this guilt, this loneliness, this frustration that we deal with, and if we handle it the wrong way, what happens is it gets into our life where we begin to hide it from other people. And so then we have this familiar sin that steps into our life and destroys our Christian walk, zaps us of our energy, makes us feel like we're not progressing, and we got these issues that are happening when I'm supposed to be a believer. This, I truly, truly believe, is probably the biggest epidemic of older believers in Christ. Why they get to that place where they just feel like they're struggling all the time. Anger is one of those emotions. See, we get angry because of injustice. Something is done that's not right and it makes us mad. scripturally, when sin happens, we should be mad. We should be angry. We should be frustrated and upset that this world that God created, this is not His plan. It's not what He wants. And it makes us mad. But quite often, our anger is more the fact that something has happened to us in our perspective. And so we get frustrated and we get mad, and we often act in a way that actually causes more damage. Interesting thing about anger. Some of you guys know this. My dad, who I love, who has gone to heaven, was an angry man. It was pretty dominant in our family growing up. Most people at church didn't know that. But his private life, things would happen. And now that I'm older, I understand. Because he always was his own boss. He always ran his own businesses. He had all these things going. He was a driven man. And he had a lot of passion to do things. And often when you do things, things come against you. Things fall apart. Businesses fail. People get upset about certain things. And so he would deal with this stuff. And instead of getting angry at what was happening, because he was a Christian man, he was nice to the individuals. And then he would come home and lose it. And he'd be angry about the stupidest thing, and you'd be like, what in the world are you doing? And it took me a long time to realize he wasn't actually angry at that. It was his emotion, and he didn't know how to handle his emotion. And so he took it out on the people that were closest to him. It's interesting because his anger, and I didn't know my grandfather or my grandma. I didn't know him, and my bet is they probably had an anger issue too. But what was fascinating to me is that anger issue that my dad had passed on to my brothers, which passed on to my nephews. And there's a generational sin there because somebody has never dealt with the issue of what is really going on. And if you talk to each one of them, they love the Lord. But in many ways, they're defeated in their Christian walk because they know they have issues. And so not only does the anger and not knowing how to handle anger, now guilt's come into their life and they don't know how to handle the guilt and the shame. And so there's this defeated pattern that's happening that continues to go on. And this is what's crazy is when I was a kid, I was going down that same road. Man, when I was young, I could lose it with the best of them. I could get mad and beat the tar out of anything. Not people. I didn't beat the tar out of people, but you know what I mean. Kick things, bust holes in the wall, lose it. And then God convicted me because I had a friend, a mentor. He's older than me. He was doing youth ministry, and we were all playing out at the creek, and I dropped a rock on his foot, and he lost it. And it was a total accident on my part. And I saw the blunt of his anger. And I went, ooh. That's what I've been doing. That's what my dad's been doing. And God convicted me of it. Convicted me so much of it that I used to play football. And I was really good at football because I was pretty much in junior high almost the same size. For some reason, I grew up fast and I was bigger than everybody else. And so I was good at football. And I loved it. But I also noticed the more I played football, the less I could control my temper. Because it's all aggression. And so I quit football, went to the Lord, and worked hard to get rid of it, you know. And it didn't just all disappear because I'd noticed there'd be certain times that it would pop up. Even later when I was married, there'd be certain times that it would pop up in certain circumstances where I'd have to stop and go, ooh, this is exactly how my dad would have handled this situation. And I've learned this behavior. And so I had to deal with that. So what I learned to do was go, anger's bad. Not going there. Can't even put my foot through that. Your step over there. Anger's bad. Don't lose it. Here's the crazy thing about anger. If you don't deal with your anger, what happens is you become depressed. Isn't that weird? Because you see, anger has to deal with a passion to right something that is wrong. And when you swallow that and say, I'm not going to get angry. I can't get angry. That's not good. That's evil. What happens is you deny that there was something that was done wrong. And so you actually become almost melancholy. And the more you deny something was wrong, the more you step into a place of depression, because what's happened is you've lost your passion for something. I was talking to Sasha about this earlier. It's like, man, when I look through my life, there's a lot of times I've had to figure out my emotions. I've had to figure out loneliness and other issues in my life. I never thought I had an issue with anger until I began to realize probably the biggest thing that me and Sasha has struggled with, that I shouldn't say Sasha because that's her story, but I'm going to say it anyways. The biggest thing that me and Sasha has struggled with for the last several decades, and we've had moments of this, is depression. Dang nabbit. I'm 56 years old and I'm just beginning to figure myself out. It's like we went through periods in our life where we just hit major depression. And it would take us a long time to get through it. Or we just didn't have the zeal. It was hard. Everything was tasteless. I remember one point even driving down the road and seeing some birds go across the field, and it was beautiful, and I smiled. And I actually stopped and went, what was that? I don't remember smiling. Depression came into my life because I wasn't dealing with my anger. Just being angry doesn't mean that you're dealing with your anger. See, to be able to recognize and go, okay, wait a minute, God has given me this emotion, and there's a proper way of actually handling it. It's not denying it. Granted, if we look at the scriptures here, I want to show you a few of them. We'll look at this here. Did I show you Ephesians? Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Where's my glasses? I can't see anything. Goodness sakes. There we go. Ephesians chapter 4. Go down here, verse 26. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. In your anger, do not sin. So once again, there's that idea. It doesn't say love is the absence of anger. It says it's not easily angered. And that word that's used there, anger, is to sharpen something. Here it says, in your anger, do not sin. I can be angry and not sin. I want you to turn over here to James chapter 1. Look at verse 19. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Okay, God gets angry, and God is righteous. Men get angry, and sometimes it's righteous and sometimes it's not. Human anger is not a place of righteousness. And what's he talking about? He's talking about this. Somebody's done something to me, and I'm going to get revengeance on it. Note that he talks here in James also, be slow. But he also says, be quick to listen. The reality is sometimes our anger is dealt off of our perception. I'm mad and I'm going to give way to this emotion because this is the way I think things have went. And we actually don't really know. So to be able to go, okay, I have anger. I feel cheated. I need to dig in. Was I really cheated? Was this really what was going on? I want to trust the best in them. And to be able to dig into it and go, okay, no, that emotion was there because I felt the wrong, but it actually was just my perspective. I wasn't actually wronged. And you have patience. But sometimes, you guys have been wronged. You've been wronged in major ways. There's been things that have happened to you that should not have happened. And it's okay to be angry about it. It's okay. I mean, you guys know, years ago I had a man come to my house and he shot himself on our doorstep. What he did is not right, and it makes me angry. It makes me angry. The way that he treated me and my family, that he would do that to my girls, that they would have to see that, to my friends, that he would think that that was okay, that's wrong. That is absolutely wrong. Do I feel for him that he felt like that was his only thing to do? Yeah, I feel for him. So there's also a lot of sadness in that. I feel for him. But the act of what happened, that should not have happened. It was because of that and everything that followed after that, that I began to realize I've never expressed my anger. I actually was in a group and didn't even know it was counseling. I was tricked into a leadership conference that was counseling, actually, group therapy. It's like, oh my gosh, seriously? And so here I'm at this group therapy, and it's like, I don't have any issues. I don't know about the rest of you guys. And then as we talked things through, the counselor came out and said, Mark, you got a problem. I hear your story, but you're not expressing your anger right. You need to be angry. And I realized, I'm so afraid to go there because of my dad. I can't do that. Because I'll give away and that's not righteous and I want to be righteous. Then I realized God gets angry. People have a problem with God's wrath. The things that happen on this world, if God did not have his wrath, he would not be a God of love. Because there are things that are done in pure hatred and evil, and God does not like it and cannot stand it. And the fact that he will justify and take care of the things that need to be justified, but at the same time his wrath will pour down, is a show and expression of his love for those that want righteousness and for those that want redemption. He is a holy God, and he is patient. And he is kind, and he is slow in anger. But because he is a God of love, he gets angry too. It's okay. I want to read you one more section here. James chapter 3. Look down here in verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in humility that come from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition, in other words, that I've been wronged, this is my right, in your heart, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly and unspiritual, demonic. For where you have selfish envy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes down from heaven is first of all pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. Our ambition is to be peacemakers. But there's a place in us too that the things that make you mad is the passion of the Lord inside of you to bring righteousness. Those things that you've suffered through that tear you up when you think about it, God has allowed you to go through some of those things to give you a passion and a heart for the victims that are out there. Don't hide that, and don't sit there and say, it's okay, it happened, it's in the past. Actually, I don't want to think about it. It's uncomfortable. You're on your road towards depression. You're on your road of actually becoming melancholy about something that God wants to put in your heart to be passionate about. See, the things that burn inside of us, that drive of being able to go, this is not right. I want to be able to help children in poverty. This is not right. I want to see people fed. This is not right. I want to be able to stand up and protect those that can't protect themselves. Those things that go inside of you, those that have been abused, and you say, no, I want to defend them. That's a passion that comes from God, because you may have experienced it or been around it, and he's driven you to a place where you are supposed to be angry about it. Not to go out there and take vengeance, but to take action to do what is right and actually put it to rest and help others that are going through it. Don't deny that anger, guys. You want to be in your 60s, you want to be in your 80s, and you want to be full of passion and on fire for the Lord, and you want to be able to make a difference. Don't get rid of that anger that things aren't the way they're supposed to be yet. But in the midst of that, begin to learn to use that as fuel. And begin to figure out how to live in peace and to help people walk in peace and to reestablish righteousness and to love others. Because if you do all this rest of this stuff that we've been talking about as far as what love is, there's a place where you will heal even those that are on the wrong side of the issue. See, love is powerful. Love is not the emotion. There's lots of emotions. Love is not an emotion. Do we get feelings from it? Yes, but it's not an emotion. It's a decision. It's a choice. It's how we walk. It's how we think. It's how we process it. It's the act of who God is. It's not whimsical. It doesn't come and go. Don't base your spiritual walk off of just the things you feel, but be able to realize, man, deep down inside, there's something else going. Man, when you come into something and you're excited about it and all that, but go deep down in there and go, what is it that it is? Oh, it's the reality that I want to be in the presence of God. So I need to do what's right to be in the presence of God, not rely on some experience. Deal with the emotions, guys. Dig into what it is. Process it. It's a journey. I've been processing it a long time. And like I say, just recently I went, oh, dang, that's why I've been fighting depression. I wish I was a little smarter. Maybe I won't have to go through that. Father God, you are an awesome, mighty God, and you are so patient with us. Lord, we thank you for all those that have come before us, men and women of great faith. Father God, I thank you for my father. He had his flaws. They had their impact. But at the same time, there's so many things that you made beautiful in him. Because you're a mighty God. And you do incredible things. And you work in the lives of people. And you change us from the inside out. And we don't even understand ourselves. Our heart is so tricky. But Father, you know it all. And you are patient and you are kind. So Lord, help us. Help us to have wisdom. You say you give it without fault. So Lord, help us to have wisdom. To know what it is that's really going on inside. To properly handle the emotions and the feelings that are going on. You've given them to us for a reason so that we would respond and act in a way that would actually bring healing, not only to us, but to others. And Lord God, if there's something that we need to be mad about, then help us to do it in your righteousness without sin. That we can bring a little bit of heaven to the earth. So we give it to you in Jesus' name.